know, it's a blessing to go and preach in a church when the pulpit is not that big. I've been preaching in some churches, the pulpit can be 5 feet tall. But I am 5 feet tall. So that means you might not be able to see the preacher. But thank God for a small pulpit too as well. The title of my message today, Mission is the Heart of God. Mission is the Heart of God. If you might open your Bible with me in Matthew chapter 9. And we will read Matthew chapter 9. We will read verse 36 to 38. So many people will say, but Brother Cesar, the word mission is not mentioned in the Bible, or the word missionary does not mention in the Bible. Just because it doesn't mention doesn't mean it's not there. Mission is right there, right from the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. If you remember when the Adam sinned and he disobeyed God, and then we remember also when the Jesus said, Adam, Adam, where are you? We think the Adam, God didn't know where the Adam was. Of course he knew, but right from the beginning, God searching for sinners. God searching for sinners. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labor are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send for labor unto his harvest. Let's go pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, I came before you, Lord. I need your help, Father, tonight. They can hear to hear from Brother Cesar. They can hear to hear from you, Lord. I pray, Lord, to your family with your Holy Spirit tonight, Lord. And that you can speak to everybody here today according to the need, Father. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today we are going to reflect one of his speeches about missions. And then I break in four points. One of my points that we can see in the verse 36 is when he saw the multitude. Jesus was always looking at the people, looking around to see people needs. He always looked for people needs. When if we remember the Zacchaeus, the little short guy, I cannot forget about Zacchaeus, because anytime my pastor preached about Zacchaeus, I always had to run to the washroom because I always watched the illustration. He always said, Brother Cesar, please come here. I said, whoa. Or even when I was David and Goliath, they used to choose the big one, and of course, Brother Cesar always had to be there. But we can see that always Jesus was looking around, see for the needs. Jesus looking at the multitude to see the need of the people. Jesus knew that without someone to teach them the way to heaven, they could never reach the heavenly places. Others are teaching them the way to go to heaven through religions. The devil is using all he can use, all his resources, to people not coming to Christ. The devil is using the music. The devil is using the prosperity gospel. The devil is using religion, war, money, technology. But us as a Christian, we're not willing to use our resources for the gospel can be preached. We don't want to use our resources for us to be able to reach the lost people. It's a lot of people outside, and they need the gospel. It's a lot of people outside dying every day without Christ, precious souls. But are we not looking at the multitude? What are we looking today? What are we looking today? You know, and sometimes God is going to bring to our life and our church people that might make feel us uncomfortable. People from they've been rejected from school, people for breaking families, people that have been rejected for sociality, for families, for school. And then they said, well, let me try church. And many churches even rejected them. Because we don't have also compassion. And the same verse we see the Jesus had compassion for them. It is one thing to see someone need, and another thing do something to relieve the help in a person with burden. You know, something who helped us in the Spanish ministry was that before we even preach the gospel to them, when we knocking at the door, we show them that we care for them. People will always go care what you have to say when they see that you care for them first. They will never care what you have to say many times if they really know that we care for them. And that actually has been helping us in the Spanish ministry. A lot of them, they're not speaking English. And the reason because they're not speaking English, that's helping us open doors for us to preach the gospel to them. I've been in the hospital many times with them, 3-4 days, sitting in the hospital with them. People that I never met before. For some reason, somebody gave my number and I ended in the hospital. And they opened door for me to preach the gospel to them. People in this time, they don't have longer compassion for others. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw the great multitude and was moved with what? With compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. Many missionaries go to the mission field knowing that they're never coming back because they're looking at the multitude and they have compassion of them. The situation of the multitude caused compassion to Jesus because they were like sheep having no shepherd. We must have compassion for people in distant places, but also we have to have compassion for people in the near places where we are here. You know, somebody one day had compassion on my dad. One day somebody preached to my dad, John 3:16. And because somebody preached to my dad, John 3:16, my dad is safe. My dad was an alcoholic. 7 days a week, he used to live in the street, drunk every day. And because my dad, somebody had compassion on my dad. And now that's the reason I was able to be here. And maybe that's the reason you're here today, because somebody had compassion of you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, people. But sometimes we call that verse wrong. For God so loved the world. I am my world, all about me, all about my needs, what I want, what I need. Church and mission is not about us. It's about others. Mission is about others. Also, we see Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do and do know the things which I say? If you are saved, and he's your Lord and your Savior, so we should answer to the Grand Commissions. Well, many times people say, Brother Cesar, I give my life to Christ. That means that's no longer yours. Your life has belonged to him. And he is your Lord and your Savior. Amen. And if he is your Lord, your Savior, if you say he is my Lord, so we need to answer to the Grand Commissions. And I like it when the Great Commission starts, go ye therefore. Go is a verb of action. It's not for us to be still. It's for us to go and do the Grand Commission. The Grand Commission is a commandment. It's a task. It's a duty for us to go and preach the gospel to this dying world. For God so loved the world, my question is, how big is your world? Is the size of you? Is the size of your church? Because God so loved the world. And if you call him your Lord, you should want the thing that he wants. And he wants that no one perish, but they come to repentance. Are you going to obey the commandment, the duty, the task that the Lord gave it to you? Because it's muy simple sometimes for us to say, he is my Lord. But we really, sometimes we didn't even mean it what we say. If he is your Lord and your Savior, we should obey the Grand Commission. And the best example for that is Jesus himself. In the same verse, we go back to our main verse, John 4. Sorry, I mix all my pages. Matthew 9:37. So first we see that God, Jesus, saw the multitude. Second, we see that Jesus had compassion. And number three is the condition of the ministry. The condition of the ministry. Matthew 9:37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's so many much to do. In one hand, we see there's a lot of work to do. There's many needs, much to do, much to cover, more places to go, send to more missionaries. For young people, answer the call to go to the ministry. But on another hand, something discouraged and something very real is only our few, our commandments. Few help in the church, and usually always the same people. You know, I always put the example that sometimes they irritate me. And when a lot of young people say, God called me, I'm ready to go to Africa, I'm ready to go to China. Praise God, if God called you, but you have to be busy in the local church. You have to be busy to the local church. God will never call somebody who is not busy in the local church. You have to be busy when God put you here. Few see the reality of the work. Few only show compassion. Few are those who really think seriously about the work of the Lord. Many Christians still playing to be Christian, playing with sin. No commandments. Few are those who lost sleep, thinking how we can do more. Pastor, how we can do more? Pastor, how we can reach these people over there? Pastor, how we can do more tracks? How we can do more? How I can get more involved? How I can be more prepared? The day that the Lord called me to the ministry, I called my pastor. How I can get more prepared? How I can learn more? How I can do more, Lord? A few years after we started the Spanish ministry, I sit down with my pastor in the office. And I didn't even need to talk to him. I said, I knew that day was coming. I said, Pastor, how you knew? Because God always will call somebody who's busy. God will always call somebody who's busy in the local church. But the problem is, the reason why people cannot see the multitude, the reason why people cannot have compassion, it's just because people are in sin right now. People, a lot of people say, we need revival. We need to shout, we need to scream, but a revival is starting in the ground. We are repentant. Open your Bible in 1 Peter. Five A. The reason you cannot see the multitude, and the reason you don't have compassion, and the reason you don't see the need and the ministry, is because of sin. The Bible says, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking who he might devour. You know, who remember the COVID-19? Many people use precaution, right? People use the mask, use to keep the distance. I remember my mom. Anytime I had to come to my mom's house, I need to take my shoes, I need to put gel on my hand, I used to run to the washroom, shower, and then I can say hi to my mom. People use the precaution they need because people were scared. But I hope a Christian can get the same precaution about sin. COVID-19 was a very dangerous enemy that we cannot see. But let me tell you, the devil is an enemy that you cannot see, but it's a very dangerous enemy too as well. And the problem is because we know are sober. Sobering mentioned in the verse relate to prudence is that think careful about your action and the consequences. A person who is not sober is a person who is drunk. Can you imagine when a drunk person drives? It's danger because he will kill somebody. But let me tell you, if you not are sober, you will kill your family. You will kill your ministry. You will kill your church. Keep playing with sin. Keep let your kids watch what they watch. Keep let your kids watch and listen that song. No expect to keep let your kids doing that stuff and nothing is going to happen. We need to be sober because the enemy wants to destroy you. The enemy wants to destroy your family, your marriage, your ministry, if we not are sober. Also, we need to be vigilant too as well. A vigilant is a person who see the dangers coming way before they come. But a Christian acts too late. They want to act with the enemy ready there. And the way we realize that he already have us. And that is the reason us, we cannot see the multitude. That is the reason we cannot have compassion. Because we haven't been sober and we haven't been vigilant in our own life. I think a mission conference should start to getting right with God on our knees. Ask God to forgive us. Another point is Jesus' request. We go back to Matthew chapter 9. Amen. And we will read the verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send for laborers into the harvest. Here we see a lack of prayers for missions and missionaries in the past and now. You know, let me tell you that when a missionary comes here and give you a prayer card, I trust that you go pray for me. I trust that you come to the throne of grace and pray for my family. I trust that you are going to pray for the souls that we are trying to reach. Amen. But many Christians, the only way they pray is in with a prayer meeting. If you have to ask everyone here personally, when in the last time by yourself you pray for a missionary? It's a trust. A trust that you are going to pray for me. Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest that we send for labor into the harvest. We need to pray for God's sent laborers, missionaries, pastors. You know, when I was calling to the list of the Bible believer churches or the missionaries, I noticed that many churches are closed. Many Baptist churches, they don't have a pastor. You need to pray for your pastor. Because your pastor are in spiritual warfare. We are in spiritual warfare. And I never understand my pastor since I started being in the ministry. 2 years ago, me and my family, we was in very big persecution in Nova Scotia through the Spanish ministry situation. And it was a very hard situation there, so I cannot tell you in the camera neither. But seeing that situation, the devil start deal and try talking in my head. Did you realize that before the Spanish ministry, nothing happened to you? But do you realize that if you left the Spanish ministry, everything will be okay? You need to pray for the missionary. You need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for their family, the devil after the kids. You need to pray for them. Also, we need to pray for the lost souls. Maybe you cannot go to the mission field, but you can pray for them. And the best example we have is Jesus Christ himself. He saw the multitude. Anytime you go outside the door, can you see the multitude? Anytime you go to these places outside, you see drugs, people everywhere. Can you see the multitude? Can you see the need? Can you see the need for the ministry? And the last one, like I said, did you answer the request? Or will keep us ourselves blind to see that nothing happen? We will be just a Christian, the only one Sunday a day, one Sunday a week, one chapter a week, one prayer a day. It's time for the church to wake up. It's time for wake up. You know, and as a young man in my church, they say, I would like my parents to get saved and come to church. But that guy, themselves, is not even faithful to church. I say, you need to show to your dad that what you preach is real. You need to preach to your dad that what you preach to him is real. But if he not can see in you that the church is important to you, it's going to not be important to your dad. So many times I am immigrant, and immigrant come here to work because we see a country full of opportunity. But sometimes I saw through the Spanish ministry, I do my duty because I send my child to church, but I need to work because I need to provide Sundays. And then when the year comes, the child get older, and then we say he doesn't care about church anymore. Because why? Because church never was important to you. You can never expect to sure be important to your child if it's not important to you. You can never expect that this word, this Bible, the precious book, be important to your child if your kids never see you read at home. They never see you pray at home. It's time for us to wake up. Christians refuse to not obey the call to mission to send. Sometimes many churches not send missionaries or not support missionaries. But praise God that the church does here. God's plan is for all men and women to hear the call of the Lord to bring the gospel to the world lost, to this world. Jesus himself chose 12 apostles to be the first missionary and send them to preach the masses of salvation. Today, the Lord is continue calling and willing to willing people to go and preach the gospel. You know, when I moved to Nova Scotia 5 years ago, I remember that my neighbor came to me and said, let me show you your property. So he came, I jumped to his truck. And then he tried to show me his property, his house. And the Holy Spirit started and bothered me for me to preach the gospel to that man. But you know what? I was too busy. I have so much stuff to do in that day. Oh, how a missionary can preach that? Well, yeah, I am ashamed of that. And I was thinking what I have to do. I was busy, and the Holy Spirit was still bugging me. Preach the gospel to the man. Preach the gospel to the man. Two days after, the man died. I never see the man again. The Holy Spirit reminded me of the opportunity I have. I went to my bedroom, and I cried, and I said, ask God, forgive me, because I was selfish. I was just thinking about myself, thinking about me, because I didn't see the need. I didn't have compassion on the man. Jesus had compassion of you. Other person had compassion of you. That's the reason you are here today. And just before I finish, when I grew up in Peru, we knew a man, he was maybe his 30 years old. He was living in the street almost for 20 years, all black, because he never showered for 20 years. People used to walk by the man, used to give him a dollar. And one day, one guy saw the man, take him home, shower, feed him, and then he preached the gospel to him. Now, after 25 years, the homeless man now is a pastor. Because someone had compassion on him. But what is the problem with the Christian? Sometimes we want to play the role of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that man will never get saved. That drunk guy in the street, there's no way that the Lord can do something with that guy. How you say that? Let the Holy Spirit convict them. It's our job is to preach the gospel to them. It's our job to send the message and leave it to the Holy Spirit the rest. We need to listen. We need to go and preach the gospel. Like I said before, if you call him your Lord and your Savior, you have to mean it when you say he's your Lord. Do you mean it when you say he's your Lord and your Savior? Because how we call my Lord, and we don't do the things that he asks. He asked for us to do the Great Commission. Look, what a privilege for us to do and preach the gospel. What a privilege. Yesterday when we go to the court and give it back to the people. What a privilege. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm privileged because I'm working for the prime minister. I don't care the prime minister. I have the privilege because I am served the mighty God. It's a high responsibility that you and me we have. Why do you lose the compassion? Why you not see the need? The people dying without Christ every day. It's tough to be selfish. Start thinking that the children is just about us when it's about others. It's a much things to do. But not many people willing to do nothing. Are you are willing to do something? Are you are willing to preach the gospel? Can you see the need when you get out this door? And you go have compassion on these people who die and go to hell. And maybe the reason, like I said, you don't see that because you have to get right with God today. Maybe it's a sin in your life that blind you, not let you see the need outside. Maybe we was not be sober and we haven't been vigilant and the devil had taken benefits of us. But if you are repented today and you come to Christ, he will forgive you. And then you will be able to see the need outside. Go pastor.